Right. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Pei Tes. We're back on Pei Ches, and we are on the bottom of Pei Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, we're at the two dots, and we are discussing the following. We are coming off of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, going all the way back to the beginning of the Perek, discusses various people who are registered over a Karban Pesach. We spoke at length already about the wife registration of the Karban Pesach. We spoke about what her default registration is going to be, whether or not the wife is by default registered under her husband's Karban Pesach, and whether she can eat. Does she need to give verbal consent, or can we assume that she is going to be part of her husband's Karban Pesach? That was yesterday's discussion. The conclusion of the Gemara yesterday was that the assumption is that she is going to be part of her husband's Karban Pesach unless she either verbally protests or she does an action which clearly indicates that she does not want to be any part of it. The next part of the Mishnah went on to discuss the Yasam, the orphan, who is has two apotropism, who has two custodians, and both of them Shech Karban Pesach. So the Mishnah says that he can eat whichever one he wants. The Gemara discussed that. We already went through a little bit of that. And now we're up to the Eved. The Eved Shal Shnei Shutrim Lo Yochal Mishal Shneihem. So now we're discussing the Eved. So you have an Eved and you have him owned by two people. And the Mishnah says that that's going to present a problem because the owners of this Eved are not going to be interested in the Eved eating from the other owner's portion. The other person's Karban Pesach. So what can be done, as Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, is that if all three of them want to be part of one Karban Pesach, that would be fine, but otherwise, this Eved is going to be in a bind. The Gemara discusses, we are now on Pei Ches Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, we're at the two dots, and the Gemara says, Eved Shal Shnei Shutrim, Ramilai Rav Eina Sabal, Rav Nachman. Following question was asked by Rav Nachman, Tanan Eved Shal Shnei Shutrim, Lo Yocha Mishal Shneihem. The Eved of two Shutrim cannot eat of both. And meanwhile, we have another Braisa that says that he can eat from whomever he wants. He could choose, he could decide who he wants to eat from. So obviously, the Mishnah and the Braisa do not agree with one another. So he says to him, the Gemara has different versions of what exactly he referred to him as. Either one of them is a pseudonym for Talmud Chacham. Look, right. I don't have a panted answer for this question. But between me and you, I'm sure the two of us can arrive at a conclusion, and that is masnitzem b'dekapte. So it must be the following: that in the Mishnah, it must be that these two owners are makbid on one another. Rashi points out, if you take a look at the Rashi in the on the side, third to last Rashi, shnei abalim ve'in rotzin lehano zemizeh. They just simply have no interest of getting benefit from one another. Rashi continues, Hilcha chafilo nisratza ha'echad, sheyochal ha'eved mishalo, ein chavera rotze shiyana chalko mishal chavera. They just simply are not interested in getting any type of benefit from one another. They're makbid on one another. Braisa lo kapti adadi. And meanwhile, these braisa is talking about, well, they're not makbid on one another. So if my Eved is going to be eating from your portion, that's fine. I don't mind from that at all. Okay, so that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and that will resolve. Okay, and finally we get to the last part of the Mishnah, and that's the following. We're on the very bottom of Pei Ches Amud Aleph at the two dots. Misha Chetzu Aved Vechetzu Ben Chor Lo Yochal Mishal Rava. The Gemara makes a very simple diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, this Chatzi Aved Chatzi Rava, how did he get to this position? So the way we always explain it is that he was owned by two owners. Eved Kenani was owned by two owners, and one of them gave him a shtar shichur. One of them released him from being an Eved. And so now this person is Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. Half a free man, half a slave. It's still owned by, 50% of him is still owned by somebody, and the other 50% of it is of him has been emancipated. So the Mishnah says, what's going to be his story with Karban Pesach? So the Mishnah says he's in a bit of a bind. Lo yochal mishal rabo. He can't eat his owner's Karban Pesach. The Gemara makes, however, a very simple deal from the Mishnah. Mishal rabo hu delo yochal va mishal atzma yochal. Yes. He can't eat from his master's Karban Pesach, but what he can do is he can eat from his own Karban Pesach. Problem is a very simple problem. We have another Braisa. The Braisa says he can't eat from either. neither from his master's nor from his own. So the Gemara says, as far as this stira between the two brises are concerned, or I should rather say between the Mishnah and the brisa, so the Gemara says, we just simply explain it as a general machlokas of how to treat such a person. If and when a person ever gets to a state where he's chasiyev and chasi ben chorin, so at this point in time now, what is his current status? Now, obviously, his future status can all be dependent on whether or not the owner frees him or doesn't free him, but the question is, what's his current status as being chasiyev and chasi ben chorin? Dinan, the Gemara goes on to explain as follows. I'm sorry, before we go on to the next Mishnah, the basic machlokas, you'll see the difference between Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achron is as follows. Mishnah Rishon's position is basically going to be, these terms will be explained a little bit better later on, but in the meantime, however, Mishnah Rishon's position is that he's stuck. Meaning, he is right now a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So, and if you're in a position where you're stuck, so you simply cannot eat Karban Pesach. Now what are you going to do? You're going to bring your own Karban Pesach. Yeah, but you're not you. Or at least 50% of you is not you. 50% of you is owned by somebody else. Right? So you're going to be in a position where you only have rights over 50% of you. So you can't have make your own Karban Pesach, and at the same time you can't eat with your master's Karban Pesach because he doesn't own all of you. He only owns half of you. That's Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Achrona will take the position that no, you're not stuck. Meaning, your current position, not your future position, your current position is that you're a free man. As a result of that, you'll be able to eat Karban Pesach. Okay.
Why is current free man?
Okay, so we're going to explain. Take a look at the Gemara now. The Gemara goes on to point out, to articulate these two views of what's called Mishnah Rishona versus Mishnah Achrona. Now we're in the very bottom of Peches Amad Aleph. A person gets into this position where he's half a slave and half a free man. Again, two people owned him. One released him. The other did not. 50% owned, 50% slave. So over this Rabbi Yomecha, Vesatma Yomecha, Jiver Beisil, so Beisil says, okay, good. So the great compromise. In other words, it's not even a compromise. In other words, it's just simply a way of sharing his body. Half is owned by me, half of me is owned by somebody else. So for one day I'll work for myself, for another day I'll work for the owner. That's it. That's the Shita of Beis Hillel. But in other words, according to Mishnah Rishona, this first viewpoint of Beis Hillel, he's in perpetuity going to be the status of being half and half. Beis Shammai Omrim, Tikantam es Rabba, Vesatma lo Tikantam. So Beis Shammai says, what are you doing? Meaning, that's great. The master is now very happy. Meaning, because he's still maintaining his half ownership over the slave. So nothing's changed for the owner. That's great. But what you have not done is that you have not really been misaking, you haven't fixed this Eved Kenani. Because he's not a full Eved Kenani, he's only a half Eved Kenani. And that puts him in a position where he cannot marry anybody. So the problem is, starts off like this. So what is he going to do? Marry another Shifcha? He can't. Half of him is a free man. Once you become a free man, so then you become a full status ger. You're a ger tzedek, so you can't marry a shivcha kananis. It's a isser in the Torah, right? Lo yeh kadesh. Rashi, take a look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the pasuk. You're not allowed to a full fledged Jew is not allowed to marry shivcha kananis. So good. So he can't marry shivcha kananis. So and now, what's his other alternative? His other alternative is to marry a bas chorin. That Gemara is going to point out he can't do that as well. Lisa bas chorin in a yachol shadayin chetzu eved. Okay, he's half a slave. He can't marry a bas chorin. So bas chorin just simply means they're a free woman, meaning a woman who is a status, full fledged Jew. Va'alolo nivra'u l'amel l'periyav rivya. So now, what's the problem? The problem is he can't marry anybody. The Gemara says that's a terrible problem. That's not a terrible problem. It's a fundamental problem. The entire purpose of creation is for period of rivya. Shenamar, Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Now, interesting, by the way, in other words, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of period of rivya, but the pasuk in Yeshayahu speaks to this fundamental nature of the mitzvah peru. Lo so bara ela l'sheves yitzara. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world for so, meaning remember that word tohu we have in the beginning of Bereishis, right? The world was all confused, mixed up. but rather l'shevet yitzara. The purpose of creation was to create, was to populate it. So in other words, you're putting this person in a position where, because he's chetzi ev, chetzi ben chorin, and because he cannot marry anybody, so now he's in a position where he cannot fulfill the mitzvah per revu. So what do you do? Elam ibnei tikana olam kofnis rabba voso so ben chorin. So what we do is we go over to the owner, we force the owner, the remaining owner, to give him a shtar shechur, a letter of emancipation. By the way, you're not going to just leave him out with no money, meaning he owns the Eved Kenani, he's entitled to the value of the Eved Kenani. So in the Shtar Shechur, obviously there's going to be an IOU attached to it, so that he'll get reimbursed for his chalik of the Eved Kenani. But still, the point is that his current status, not his future status, his current status is that he's a free man. That was the position of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He needs to be freed. And so therefore, Beis Hillel, although took the original position, that was called Mishnah Rishona, took the original position that he remains in the status of Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, eventually Beis Hillel came around to Beis Shammai and says, no, you're right. He's going to be a full Ben Chorin. We're going to be Kofeh Rabo to be Meshachrihim. Now that you know all that, so now you go back to the original stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says he doesn't eat his Ravs, but he eats his own. That's Mishnah Achrona. Because really, he's a free man. So he'll eat his own. It is a little bit strange, to be fair, that if our Mishnah is going like Mishnah Achrona, the language is strange. Meaning he doesn't eat from his Ravs, but he eats his own. I mean, truth of the matter is, according to Mishnah Achrona, his Rav is not really his Rav anymore. Meaning he's no longer a master. Meaning his current status is that he's freed. So the Lashon's a little bit strange. I don't know exactly what to do with that. And then the Mishnah Rishona, which is a position that he remains in the status of Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So that's the Braisa. The Braisa that says that he can't eat neither his master's nor his own because he's in that state of being both. Chatzi Eved, both an Eved and a Ben Chorin. Okay. We are starting now the next Mishnah. We're on Pei Ches Amud Beis. The new Mishnah deals with the following scenario. Once again, we have a construct case now of an owner and his slave. And the owner says to his slave, the slave is an Eved Kenani. The Gemara's first question is going to be, not the first question, but one of the first questions of the Gemara is going to be, he's a slave, Mashikana Eved Kenani Rabo. He doesn't really own anything. It doesn't. Nothing of his belongs to his. Anything and everything he picks up is automatically going to go to his master. Okay, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that question later on. We'll come back to that question. But in the meantime, however, let's just deal with the simple case. The case is that the master says to his avid, "Here's what I want you to do. Right, go shachar pesach for me. Meaning, I'll stay in the comfort of my hotel room here in Yerushalayim." And you'll shech carbon pesach for me, and you'll bring me back the carbon pesach, and we'll eat it. Okay, but you do it for me. So the Mishnah seems to be making such obvious statements. The Gemara is going to ask the question. These are so obvious. Meaning, if he shechs a goat, eat the goat. If he shechs a sheep, eat the sheep. Meaning, as we know, the carbon pesach can come from one of two animals, either a male goat or a male sheep. So whatever the Eved decides to shech, that's what they're going to eat. Okay. The Gemara later on is going to say, that's obvious, isn't it? Shacha gidi utala. Let's say the Eved shechs two animals, a goat and a sheep. Yochal min harishon. So the Mishnah says, we're going to assume the first one was the Karban Pesach. What was the second one? I don't know, shlame maybe. But in other words, the first one's the Karban Pesach. How do we make such a default assumption that the first one's the Karban Pesach? Gemara is going to raise that question. The Gemara is going to respond to that question.
What did they do with the second one?
And the second one will be treated like a regular shlamim. Shachach ma'amar lo, rabo. So ketzad yaseh. So now let's say the Eved is on his way to Yerushalayim, given very clear instruction by the master in terms of not only to shechta on pesach, but what animal he prefers. Meaning, here's what I want you to shechta. I want you to shechta, and then he says a particular animal. And I could so see myself being in this position, and now I'm in Yerushalayim, and I'm thinking to myself, I know he told me something, I just don't remember which one he wanted. Was it the goat? Was it the sheep? Now he was machbid, meaning clearly the owner had a particular interest in terms of which carbon pesach he wanted, either goat or sheep. So what do you do? Yishchot Tlev Gidi. So the Mishnah says the solution will come out as follows. Shech both animals, v'yomer. Im Gidi Amali Rebbe, Gidi Shalo v'tleshali. So, look, if my master wanted a Gidi, so fine. So the goat will go to him, and the sheep will remain with me. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, this line of the Mishnah is really hard to understand. He's an Eved. He's an Eved Kanani. He doesn't have ownership over anything. So how can he retain the rights and ownership of the animal? So the Gemara is going to come, and Gemara is going to ask that question. V'im tala amarli, and we'll go the other way. If he wanted sheep, if he wanted rack of lamb for this Pesach, so v'im tala amarli Rabbi hatlashel avigdishali, good, no problem at all. He'll take the sheep, I'll take the goat, good. Shachach rabo ma'amarlo. Next case in the Mishnah. Let's say like this. The Rav says to the Eved Kanani, here's what I want for this Pesach. Go and shech the Karban Pesach on our behalf, on my behalf. And I want you to shech, and he said, a specific animal. And the Eved goes and he shechs a specific animal. And now he goes back to the master, and the master himself also suffers from this memory loss. And the master says, look, I know, I remember, I was Machman, I wanted a particular animal, but here's my story, I forgot. I forgot which one I said. So the Mishnah says now neither animal, neither the goat nor the sheep, can be used for the Karban Pesach. They both can be sent out to the Beis HaSreifa because they are karbanos which cannot be eaten, so they're pasul, they're disqualified. At the same time, says the Mishnah, the both of them get a check for Karban Pesach. Steve, you got it. No, I know, it's fine. It was an attempt, and it was a good attempt. I can't. Okay. But it's there for perpetuity. And now pshita shachag di yochal afagav deragol betle shachatla yochal afagav deragol begdi. So the Gemara infuses some chiddush into the Mishnah because truth be told, what's the point? Meaning, the Mishnah makes the point. Well, if he shechs a goat, good. Or if he shechs a sheep, good. Meaning, okay, but isn't that what he wanted? So the Gemara injects a little chiddush into the Mishnah. The Gemara says, "No, we'll say like this. Normally, the master's choice, right? Well, he sits down for a dinner over most of the year, so he wants sheep. And this year, he asked it for particular for a goat. Or let's say like this, or he didn't ask. It doesn't matter. Meaning, if the Eved chooses a goat for this year, even though his normal dinner du jour is sheep." It's still going to be okay because he wasn't makpid, he wasn't specific of his instruction, and that's why it would be okay. So okay, good. So we injected a little bit of chiddush into the Mishnah. Shecha gidi utla yocham anarishon. We're up to the next case of the Mishnah where the Eved shechted two animals. He shechted a goat and a sheep. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says yocham anarishon. You eat from the first. So the Gemara says, here's my problem. It's a very simple problem. You can only register over one Karban Pesach. Meaning, as an individual, you only have one Karban Pesach that you can register over. You can't sit there and say, you know what, I'm interested in really fasting tonight, this Karban Pesach, I'll register over this one and that one and that one. You can't do that. You can only register over one. So, the question is as follows. This Eved shechted two animals. So why do we assume, oh, it must be the first animal? Didn't the Eved, when he shecht both of these animals, instruct the Kohen, look, both of these are going to be my master's Karban Pesach? You can't do that. You can't register over two. So the Gemara's response is, Masisa Melmelech Umalka. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know, our Mishnah is talking about a king and a queen. Now, king and the queen, I don't know how literally to take it because there's only one king and there's only one queen. Melech Malka, you'll see Rashi, Tosfos, I'll show you both. But basically, we mean people who really live such luxury lives, they have it all. And because they have it all, you know what? Goat, sheep, whatever, it's all good. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, and the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa over here is not a Kasha, it's just a support that this answer is in fact the answer. It's the bona fide answer to the question. Look, the Braisa starts off where you can't register over two Karban Pesachs. King and Queen ask the Eved, you know, Shechem Pesach for us. And then what happened was is that the Eved shechted too. So Bal v'shalu as Hamelach. Sorry, I skipped the line. Second line down. Amar lahem l'chu v'shalu as Hamalka. So what does the king say? Meaning, first they ask the king which one. So the king says, you know, right? Ask the Rebbetzin, ask the queen. So Bal v'shalu min Hamalka. So good. So now they go to the queen. Amar lahem l'chu v'shalu as Rabbi Gamliel. Very religious queen. She said, okay, ask Rabbi Gamliel. Bal v'shalu as Rabbi Gamliel. So they went to ask Rabbi Gamliel. Amar lahem Malka u'melech the daitan kala alehem. So Rabbi Gamliel says, daitan kala. Probably familiar with that phrase, that expression. The Gemara in Sota uses that expression. But here the expression applies to king and queen. Daitan kala, as Rashi explains, as Tosus explains, both basically come to the same point. Whatever. I mean, that's their explanation. I mean, I'm not just saying whatever. Meaning, in explanation of the Gemara, whatever. Look, take a look at the Tosos, the language of Tosos. Third Tosos down. Sheyesh lahem rov ma'adonim. They have everything they want, every delicacy they want. V'lo kaptim gedivim tleh im shamenim kachush. They literally do not care. It's whatever it is, it's all good. We have whatever we want anyway. So therefore, yochlu min arishon. So therefore now, the two carbon pesachs that were shechted, you're only allowed to register over one. Not a problem. Here we can safely assume they're going to choose the first one. Because they're not makbid, they literally do not care. But Rabbi Gamliel says, but for the rest of us, for us plebeians, who we have a particularity in terms of which one we want, and two animals were shechted, and we were makbid, we're generally speaking makbid, so for us we can't eat the first, we can't eat the second, because once again that we connect ourselves to one of the two, we don't know which one of the two, so therefore we can eat neither. He's an extension of the owner, meaning he's not a shliach, he's the owner. Right. In other words, because the master owns him, basically, you do what I tell you to do. So I'm not sure if it is really the right way to explain this. V'shuv pa'am achas nim says. Sounds like it. So the incident makes it sound like this actually occurred. Once again, by the way, I'll reintroduce the question that I asked previously, which is, and if you remember, Rabbi Gamliel lived after Churban Bais. Right. This is not the first time. Not the first time I raise this issue. There are a couple times in this Masechta where we see Rabbi Gamliel dealing with Karban Pesach, and he lived after the Churban. That's a good question. I don't know. The terms king and queen over here, I told you, I don't know if they have to be understood super literally. It just simply means people who have everything. So, but the question, however, which I raised before, which, you know, I'm not the first one to raise this issue. The Achronim discuss this. It's a very interesting topic, and that is Rabbi Gamliel lived after the Beis HaMikdash. So what's he doing with Karban Pesach? Okay, anyway. And the Braisa continues, this part of the Braisa really is not germane to our discussion, but it's here, it's in the Braisa, and the Gemara says that they found a halta'a, one of the Shemona Shoratzim, one of the eight bugs, where once it's dead, you touch it, you become tame. So it's metame b'maga. And they found the dead bug, and he was in the suda. Now again, the issue over here is not a kashrus issue. The issue over here is that this sheretz touched all the food, touched the people, everything now is tummy. So, is everything really tummy? Same chain of command. King says, go ask the queen. Queen says, go ask Rabbi Gamliel. So he says, let me ask you a question. The bug that you found, dead bug that you found, cold body or warm body? Meaning, go touch it. Tell me. Right? You see, you feel a pulse? So amr lo roseach. So I don't know, pulse is not the right word, but in other words, it was warm. Amr lahem lo chuvitil ala koshal tzonein. So they says, so Rabbi Gamliel says, go splash some cold water right on this lizard. Hachuvitil ala koshal tzonein virichsha vitir Rabbi Gamliel. Call us to Uda Kula. They resuscitated, they revived the dead lizard. It wasn't dead. Just looked dead. Nimtzei Melech Taloi B'Malka, V'Nimtzei Malka Taloi B'Ram Gamliel, Nimtzei Kol Asura Taloi B'Ram Gamliel. So the Gemara says, now when it comes to the meal, the king always turns to the queen, but the queen always turns to Rabbi Gamliel. So really, talk about rabbinic supervision, the entire meal was under Rabbi Gamliel's rabbinic supervision. Shachach Masha Amar Lo Rabbo, and here we get to the complicated part of today's daf. Everyone, please just try to hang with me. I'll try to hang with me for the next, let's say, 20 lines of Gemara from here until the top of the next Amud. And here we get to, not yet. We'll get to it in just a moment. First, the Gemara is going to ask the basic question. Sorry. Shachach Masha Amar Lo Rabbo, Shalim Masha Kana, Evakana Rabbo. So the Gemara here now raises the question which I brought up in the Mishnah. I told you it was coming, and that is how can the Evan make any type of stipulation? You know, they're two animals. I know my owner wants one of the two. So you know what? If he wants the goat, he can have the goat, and I'll have the kid. I'll have the kid. You're an Evan. You don't own. You don't have. So how can you make such a stipulation? That's the Gemara's question. Mashikana Evan Kana Rabbo. I'm Rabbi Yeholach Etzaro HaRagel Rabbo Etzlo Denichale Batakanta De Rabbe. So the Gemara says that when he's going to a shepherd to get the animals, he's going to a shepherd who's a good friend, and the shepherd understands that yes, under normal circumstances, the Eved cannot be Kona anything. However, in this particular situation, because of the circumstances, it would only help the owner if he allowed the Eved to actually own one of the animals. In other words, because of this very strange predicament, because the owner asked for a particular animal, and because the Eved forgot what the animal was, and this is the only solution, so therefore the shepherd says, under these circumstances, I know what I need to do. And by the way, what is that? And so therefore what he says to the Eved is, here, I'm going to make a kinyan to you. Now normally, any kinyan that's made by the Eved goes immediately to the owner. However, because of this very bizarre situation, what the shepherd's going to say to the Eved is, I'm being makne this to you, almanas, on the condition that your owner doesn't get it, and that you become the owner of this. You could do that, you can make such a stipulation. And the Gemara says, that's the scenario that we're dealing with over here, where it's a shepherd who knows the family very well. Okay. Shachach Rabba Masha Amarlo. Now here we go. Now everyone strap in. Now, this is the last case of the Mishnah and the most complex case of the Mishnah. The owner says to the Eved, I want you to shecht for me Karban Pesach. The owner said to the Eved, here is what I want you to shecht. He was extraordinarily specific in terms of what he wanted. The Eved says, okay, good, here I go. He goes to Yerushalayim, he goes up to the Beit HaMikdash and he says, oh no. The owner asked me for either a sheep or a goat and I forgot which one. Okay, so he gets and he offers. He goes back to the owner, and with the stipulation we just described. He goes back to the owner, and the owner says, you know, it's funny that you forgot. I forgot too. And the Mishnah says that neither of them can eat Karban Pesach, because one of them is owned by one, and one of them is owned by the other. Because of their memory loss, we don't know whose belongs to whom. And as a result of that, the Mishnah says they don't eat the Karban Pesach, but Karban Pesach was brought for on behalf of both of them. They both fulfill their obligation. They don't have to bring Pesach Sheni, even though they are not eating Pesach Rishon. That's what our Mishnah said.
Why say both of them? Just one of them. I mean, the Eved doesn't have any.
The Eved has a mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Here's my curiosity. Does he have an independent mitzvah of Karban Pesach? Sounds like that from the Mishnah.
Like if the owner doesn't do it, then the Eved has to do it.
Right. I don't know the answer to that question. It does sound like from the Mishnah that he has an independent mitzvah, but it doesn't sound right, but that's what it sounds like. Amar Abai lo shana lo shashachach achazrika. So Abai now is going to qualify this last case of the Mishnah. Yes, it's going to work, where they're both fulfilling the obligation of Karban Pesach, but that's only if his memory loss occurs after the zrika. So why did be ina de isdarig dam have chazi lachila? So because at the time of zrika, at least the owner knew which carbon belonged to him. So that means that when zrika occurred, there was an owner who was able to eat the carbon pesach. So at least had the potentiality of being eaten. Aval shachach lefnei zrika dechi isrik dam lo have chazi lachila chayav lasos pesach sheni. But Abaye qualifies, and Abaye says, if let's say the owner's memory loss occurred before the Zrika, so then it's no good. Because when the Kohen was Zorik the Dam, when he sprinkled the blood of the Karban Pesach, so now, who's eating it? We don't know. Meaning the owner stipulated whether it was going to be a sheep or a goat. He forgot which one he stipulated. Now, both of them are being brought, but because we don't know who is eating which animal, so therefore this is a Zrika Shalola Ochlov. Therefore the Karban Pesach is no good. Therefore the owner is going to have to bring a new Karban Pesach. Okay, or if we just whiffed on Pesach Rishon, he's got to bring Pesach Sheni. Okay, that is now a Abaye stipulation of our Mishnah. Igad Amasin La Abraisa. Now what we're going to do is we're going to do basically the same thing again, but instead of Abaye attaching his qualification to the Mishnah, Abaye is going to attach his qualification to the Raisa. Chamisha Shnesarvu Aros Pischeim Zebeze V'Nimsis Yabelas Be'Echad Mehen. Let's imagine the following scenario. Bizarre scenario, where five carbon pesachs were shechted. The five animals were flayed. The hides of the five animals were laying side by side. We do not know which hide is connected with which carbon pesach. But after further review of the hide, we then make the following observation. One of the hides has a yabelis, has a wart. That is called a mum. A mum, a blemish, disqualifies the carbon pesach. So now we know of the five that were offered, one of the carbon pesachs is actually disqualified. It's a pasul carbon pesach. So, story goes like this: Kulan yotzel lebeisas feifa, uptur ma'asas pesach sheni. Now we're going to have to discard not one of the five carbon pesachs, all five carbon pesachs, because we simply do not know which of the five is the owner of the wart, because they were flayed. The animal, the skins were removed, the hides were flayed, and so therefore we know one is a bomb one, we just don't know which one. They all have to be taken out for the basis rafa. Now I know you could make the argument that four out of five are good, and don't we say bittol? Not in all circumstances and not here.
Would it be mixed up to begin with? Because the owner
is... Yeah, it's an unusual scenario. But let's work with the fact that it was mixed up, and so therefore you throw them all out. Amar Abaye, but the part we're going to focus on right now is the last part of the Braisa. They're good. They didn't eat the Karban Pesach for the technical reason, but they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Ad kan divrei habraisa, and now Abaye. Amar Abaye lo shanu lo shenes arvu lechaz. Zrika debi idna di izdarik damia have chazal achila. Yes, it's true they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni, but that's only if they if the animals get mixed up after Zrika Sadam. Avon they sarvu lefnei Zrika chayav lasos Pesach Sheni. But if the animals get mixed up before, they do not need to bring. They will need to bring Pesach Sheni. Okay, and the reason why is, again, for the same basic reason. Because at the point of Zrika, we don't know who's able to eat the Karban Pesach and who's not able to eat the Karban Pesach. And once again, it results in the same scenario, where I'm doing Zrika, but I don't know if the owner can or cannot eat it. Okay, period. Adkan. Good. That takes us to a Mishnah being qualified by Abaye, and the Braisa being qualified from Abaye. Now, Abaye's qualification is basically the same point in both, and that is that when you're being Zorik the Dam, if you, the Kohen, do not know who's able to consume it for reasons of Safek, it's not going to be a good Zrika. This is not going to be a valid Karban Pesach, and the owner is going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. Good? There is, however, a difference between the Mishnah's case and the Braisa's case. In the Mishnah's case, why is it that the owner can't eat it? It's because we don't know whose carbon is whose. Meaning the carbon itself is fine, it's just everyone suffered memory loss. We don't know whose carbon belongs to whom. In the Bryce's case, why is it that the people can't eat it? Because one of the carbons is actually disqualified. It's not just simply, I don't know who belongs to whom. In other words, one of the carbons is legitimately disqualified, and because all five of them got mixed up together, so therefore, we don't know. One of them is literally inedible, meaning halachically inedible. It's just a question that we don't know whose. Man demasni amasni sinkol shekein abraisa. Now, if you attach a bias qualification to the Mishnah, for sure it would be true by the Braisa. In the Mishnah's case, carbon's fine. just because we just forgot who the owner is, or the owner forgot which one belongs to him. So the Gemara says, but if you attach a bias qualification to the Braisa, it could very well be argued that he, in a Mishnah's case, wouldn't qualify. Because in the Mishnah's case, we just simply say, both Karban Pesachs are good, it's just a memory loss. If we could shake the man's memory and get him to remember which one he said, don't you remember, you said that one? Oh yeah, you're right. So then, it would be that the Karban Pesach in of itself is fine. So you could make the argument that if you attach a bias qualification to the Braisa, it could be that he wouldn't necessarily qualify the Mishnah. Okay. And that, it was the easy part of this Gemara. Now we get to the tricky part. Amar Mar Patur Melasos Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara comments now on the second half, which is they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Vayikachad lo nafik. So the Gemara is asking a very simple question. Look at the Mishnah's case. The master said to the Eved, I want you to shecht an animal for me, and he was specific. He said either goat or sheep. When the Eved got to the Beis HaMikdash, he forgot. Oh no, did he say goat? Did he say sheep? I'll bring both. And he stipulated. And he went back to the owner, and the owner said, oh, I'm so happy that you tried to help me, but I forgot too. And so what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that neither of them can eat it because they don't know whose belongs to whom. But they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, here's where I'm confused. But one of them didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So how come they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Delo Efsher. So the Gemara says, this is not talking about the Mishnah's case. I apologize. In the Mishnah's case, both of them forgot. This is talking about the Bryce's case. In the Bryce's case, one of the five animals was disqualified. The Bryce says they're all good for Pesach Sheni. They all don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. And now the Gemara asks the obvious question, but why not? One of them did not fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, clearly. So the Gemara's answer to that is Mishum Dula Avshar. Hechila v'leisi kol chavachad Pesach chamaisi chun la'azara. Da'ba min avdi luhu. So, suggestion number one of the Gemara, well, why not all of them bring Pesach and Pesach Sheni? So, as far as suggestion number one, the Gemara immediately rejects it. What are you talking about? Four of them fulfilled Pesach Rishon. So now comes Pesach Sheni. Here we are. Same group of five. Four of them already fulfilled Pesach Rishon. They're going to bring a Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Well, that's not going to work. They already fulfilled their obligation. So this is not Pesach. This is not a Karban Pesach. What is it? It's not a Karban. It's Chulin Sheba Azara. It's bringing a non-consecrated animal into the Beis HaMikdash that you're not allowed to do. Could be an Issa D'Oraisa, could be just an Issa D'Rabbanan. Either way, it's prohibited to do that. So suggestion number one immediately rejected. Leisa Kulu Chad Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. How about this? How about all five of them bring one Karban Pesach? Remember, one of those five did not fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach. So how about all five share one Karban Pesach and eat the Karban Pesach? So the Gemara says, Nimtza Pesach Necho Shalom Lemnuyev. So the Gemara immediately rejects the second suggestion because one of them is registered over the Karban Pesach. Four of them is not registered over the Karban Pesach, because they already fulfilled their mitzvah of Karban Pesach. If you already fulfilled your mitzvah of Karban Pesach and Pesach Rishon, you can't just simply arbitrarily register for Pesach Sheni. So four people who are unregistered are going to be eating the Karban Pesach. That can't happen.
Yes, and the premise here is that if it's their mix, aren't they supposed to have, at the time of Shechita, in mind that this specifically goes to this group, this goes to this group, otherwise it's not going to be accepted to begin with?
So the original case was each of these five people who brought five Karban Pesachs, after the Zrikas Hadam, after the sprinkling of the blood, then the Oros and the Hides got mixed up together one. Right, that was the bias qualification. So So the Gemara says, how about this? Okay, and now we get into the complexity of condition making. So how about we do the following? Each one of the five is going to bring their own carbon Pesach. Now, again, remember, what was the conundrum? Four of them already fulfilled their mitzvah for Pesach Rishon. One of them did not. So have all five come back on Pesach Sheni, and each one make a stipulation, a verbal stipulation, and make the following statement. If mine happened to have been the Baal Mom, 20% chance that that's the case, if mine happens to be a Baal Mom for Pesach Rishon, this will serve as my Pesach Sheni. V-E-D-D, Tom. Now, if mine happens to be the unblemished animal, which means that I fulfilled Pesach Rishon, Haida Aisi Hashta Nehavi Shlamim. That which I bring now will just simply be a Shlamim. And with that verbal stipulation now, so good. So now we'll be fine. Four out of the five will be bringing a Shlamim. One of the five will be bringing a Karm Pesach. Because of the stipulation, we may not know, but so what? So the Gemara says, Lo Efshar, Mishum Di'ika Chazivik Shok De Kohanim Hu Da'achalei. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is very simple. Now I'm not going to say it anymore. Because it's not, the problem is no longer simple. But here's the problem. A regular Shlamim, what happens? Portions of a regular Shlamim go to a Kohen. That's what's called Chazivik Shok. The chest of the animal, the right leg of the animal, the right foreleg of the animal, that part of the Shlamim goes to a Kohen. Remember, Kohen has three consumers. The Mizbeach gets the Yemurim, the Kohen gets Chazav Ashok, and the owner gets the remainder. So the problem is like this, with the stipulation of, if it's a Pesach, Karm Pesach, fine. And if it's a Shlamim, fine. Well, no, it's not fine. Because if it's a Shlamim, Chazav Ashok has to go to a Kohen. So what's the big deal? Simply give Chazav Ashok to a Kohen? No, it is a big deal. Because remember, there's a very good chance, not a great chance, but there's a good chance that this is in fact a Karm Pesach. That means then that the Kohen's going to be eating Karm Pesach and he's not registered over the Karm Pesach. It's being nechal by an Eino Manui, somebody who's not registered. So now the Gemara is going to delve deeper into the stipulation. So the Gemara says, okay, how about everyone bring their own Kohen? Hi Kohen Hechidam, Idavid Pesach Dama Hai Pesach, Huvenimsa Pesach Nechal Shalom Nuyev. Even if every one of them were to bring their own Kohen, but as I pointed out just a moment ago, the problem is going to be that the Kohen is an unregistered member of this Karm Pesach, and the Kohen is going to be eating Karm Pesach where he's not registered. Bidalo Avid Pesach Dama Shlamim Hu. So the Gemara says, and what? And maybe the Kohen is, I'm going to not only bring a Kohen, I'll find the Kohen who didn't fulfill Karban Pesach. The Gemara says, oh, that would all be well and good, but also remember that this animal that you're bringing may not be Karban Pesach. Remember, right? You stipulated, because you already may have fulfilled your obligation for Pesach Rishon. And so now what you're bringing now is a Shlamim. So if you found a Kohen who didn't fulfill Pesach Rishon, and you're serving him Chazav Ashok, but what may it be, is it may be Chazav Ashok, which means that he's not fulfilling his Karban Pesach. So v'lo Avid Pesach. So, and he's not going to be fulfilling his mitzvah Karban Pesach. V'neisi kol chamisha chad kohen de lo avid pesach v'nimi alavei. So the Gemara says, okay, how about we do the following? How about between all five of them bring one kohen who has not fulfilled this Karban Pesach, and now do the following. Everybody will give Chazav Ashok over to the kohen, and now the kohen's going to be good on both ends. If it's the regular shlamim, good. Kohen will be eating Chazav Ashok. One of them, by definition, is going to be Karban Pesach. This kohen that we found did not fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach as of yet. So he'll be either be eating shlamim or he'll be eating Karban Pesach. Won't that be good? Wait just one second. Hani chamisha pischeim. I'm sorry. V'nimnei alave. Hani chamisha pischeim. The mimanavshach. Ika chadalo avid pesach v'kanaf kibay. So the Gemara says this would be a good suggestion. Right? Have one kohen who didn't fulfill Karban Pesach. Every one of these five now are going to be giving Chazav Ashok to this kohen. He'll be eating Chazav Ashok of all five. Okay, that's really a mouthful in terms of what he's going to be doing. What's the problem with this? It sounds good, huh? No, he'll fulfill Pesach as well, because one of the five is in fact Pesach. So he's good on both ends. The problem with this is that mishum dekamemai ba'achilas shlamim yilu pesach liyom v'layla v'yilu shlamim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. The problem is that he's going to be curtailing the amount of time that the shlamim is eaten, because every one of these animals may be carbon pesach. He will be limited to eating it only for that night, and not for the regular shlamim time of day, night, day. Fine. V'naisi moser ha'pesach v'neima. So on this now, the Gemara is going to make one final suggestion. And that is the following. Moser Pesach basically means like this. That I have money that I set aside for Karban Pesach. And that money, it was left over. This is now what's called Moser Pesach. And Venema. E Pesach. Look, if this is a Karban Pesach, Ididi Tamu. Now they hide the Ice Hashta Shlamim de Moser Pesach Nechol Yom Valayla. The shlamim that comes as a result of Moser Pesach is not a regular shlamim. It's not eaten day, night, day, but it's only eaten day, night. So, let us now introduce the idea that what was a problem? We had a beautiful solution. The problem with the solution was is that we're going to be, if it's a shlamim, you're going to be curtailing its time to be eaten, because a shlamim is eaten day, night, day. So what was the Gemara's suggestion? Don't bring a shlamim, but bring it rather from Moser Pesach. Moser Pesach is only eaten day, night. The Gemara's response to that is, v'chim afrishin t'chila l'mosaros, v'nitroch v'naisi Moser ha-Pesach. So the, I'm sorry, v'chim afrishin t'chila l'mosaros. So the are you allowed to do that lichatchila, meaning leave over Moser Pesach? So the Gemara says v'nitchuchu v'naisu Moser Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll do, in other words, you're right. You can't do that lichatchila, but look around, meaning put an ad out. Does anyone have any Moser Pesach? Because if you do, you'll help us with the stipulation. Elam Mishum Smicha, the Gemara presents another problem, and that is the problem of Smicha. De'ilu Pesach lo by Smicha, ve'ilu Moser by Smicha. Karban Pesach does not require Smicha. A Moser Pesach does require Smicha. Hatin a Karban Anashim, Karban Anashim, Ma'ikal Ameimar. So the Gemara says, you're right. But imagine, however, that this was not a carbon of men, this was a carbon of women. Carbon of women does not require smicha under any circumstance, neither the carbon Pesach nor shlamim as well. So the Gemara says the reason why the stipulation will not work is because the carbon Pesach only requires one blood application on the Mizbeach, and the shlamim slash Moser Pesach requires two blood applications. My nafkamina v'atanan kol anitanan al mizbech chitzon shenasam b'matan achas kiper. So the Gemara says, yeah, but b'di'evid, one sprinkling will be sufficient. Ela mishum de'ilu Pesach b'shvicha v'ilu shlamim b'zrika. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you why the stipulation will not work. Because karban Pesach, you have to pour the blood, and the karban shlamim requires a sprinkling of the blood. So the Gemara says, okay, but b'di'evid, even sprinkling by itself works. Sorry. B'di'evid shficha works even though what you should have done is sprinkled. So ema dekarmin and di avad lechatchila nami. So the Gemara says dekarmin di avad lechatchila nami. So the Gemara's final response is, okay, that's all b'di'evid, but lechatchila, in other words, what we want to do is be able to stipulate that this should work lechatchila. It does not work lechatchila. Consequently, you're stuck. Okay, that is. That's exactly the point. Because there's no solution, so that's why the Bryce ends off by saying that they're not going to bring Pesach Sheni. Adkan. Okay, that takes us to the end of the discussion. I know that last piece was complicated.
What's
okay,
the problem
tomorrow.
Concerning shlamim, and not going beyond this for 24 hours.
Because right, I just give me a moment. I'll explain. All right, we'll start.